Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who've supported me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So, thank you to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, and Frugal Brutal for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. So, I have a really exciting episode for everyone today. Obviously, you've probably heard by now that I recently started playing CDH, or at least Fringe CDH, and it's really exciting. But, again, as you have probably also heard, CDH comes with a lot of misnomers and misconceptions from the larger community. Therefore, I think it's definitely past time that I bring in a luminary from the community to help kind of talk down those misconceptions and try to, you know, deal with some of the issues that some people, or some of the challenges and obstacles people might have to trying to dip their toes into CDH for the first time. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest for today. You've probably heard of him. Nathan, aka the Hermit Druid, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
Doing okay. How about you?
Oh, not too bad. Just finished the day, gonna get ready for a chat, having a smoke, and just gonna, you know, chat.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Definitely, definitely. This is going to be a really good episode, I can tell. Especially from our conversations before the show, this is going to be a good one. So I recommend everyone out there listening to this to buckle up, because there's going to be a lot of information coming at you hard and fast, and that's just the way we do it on this show. And before we begin there, Nathan, again, where can people find more of your thoughts on CDH in the community?
Oh, you can find me where I spend too much time on Twitter, at the Hermit Druid.
Yeah,
that's just where that's where I spend my 9 to 5. Where, yeah, it's basically my 9 to 5. It's my 9 to 5 job. Well, one of my 9 to 5 jobs.
Yeah, the never ending life of the community member.
I thought like you'd just be like, oh, it's a daily thing. Like the conversations that are going on Twitter are like a daily thing. If you ever wonder where like the CAG is talking and like the RCs, when the RCs talking, everybody's talking on Twitter all day.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I'm surprised any of us still have our jobs.
Yeah, definitely working from home has changed that on my end. So.
Well, actually, I recently got a job doing social media for a company, so the last 2 years of like spending all my time on social media actually turned out to be a resume.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, congratulations. Good
Cheers.
To hear that. Okay, so yeah, again, you've been playing CDH for a good long while. You've really made it in that part of the format, and
I have made it, but I haven't been here for a very long time. Oddly enough, I've been very in the scene since I stepped into it. I only started playing EDH just after Rivals of Ixalan, and it was about a year later. So I've only been in CDH for about 2 years, but it's like I ingrained myself pretty heavily on it because, again, I spend like 8 hours a day on Twitter, and I'm an avid brewer, and being like I just wormed my way right into the community pretty early, and yeah.
Hey, I've only been playing Magic for the last 2.5 years, period. So you've got me there. But yeah,
I'm just used to dealing with people who have been playing it for a lot longer than I have.
That's very fair. I kind of feel that way, too. It's like I'm super new to this whole game. And it's like I can't believe I've already been playing for 2 years. You know, it's.
Yeah. So I've been playing CDH about as long as you've been playing Magic.
Yeah. So that for me, that's a long time, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't a very long. I was on my way out of EDH before I found CDH when I was like on vacation. I was just watching videos and I found CDH. And I'm like, wait, there is a format where I'm allowed to just play super fast combos and nobody's gonna get angry about it. Woohoo!
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Like, it literally is why I'm still playing the format.
Yes,
like playing EDH in general.
So speaking of super fast combos, there, Nathan. When we talk about a lot of the misconceptions that happen around CDH, I guess my question to you is, what are some of your not really like hated questions, but what are you some of the do you think are some
Well,
of
you're
the
talking about super
questions?
fast combos. One of the things that everybody thinks is like everything is super fast combo, and I'm like, yes, because of people like me. But there are also lots of people that are trying to slap that out of my hand every single day. There are mid-range decks. It's like the deck is not entirely everybody trying to win on turn two or three, but like there are crack addicts like me that are entirely trying to win the game on turns two and three. But that's why I play CDH, and that's why I like Storm. It's just different. Are different archetypes of people. Some of my friends love stacks. And that's why, again, they can play CDH, because nobody's gonna frown on stacks. And frankly, stacks is needed because there are people like me. I'm never gonna be angry about somebody turn one Rule of Long because I'm gonna turn two Ad Nauseam.
So yeah, I'm going back to that question. Is there that, yeah, I at least from where I stand, or at least where I've been kind of getting into this whole format, the biggest stumbling block for me was trying it. CDH effectively is like a mental mind. It's a change of operations, I suppose, from regular casual EDH. Is that technically nothing is frowned upon in CDH versus obviously, as we've seen in the discourse and on so many different podcast episodes, we're talking about what is casual, what is typically acceptable in casual, rule zero, et cetera, et cetera. CEDH doesn't have a lot of those problems because, like you said, everyone is basically expecting to take everyone's best shot and they are expecting your shot, best shot in turn. So
Exactly.
you
And
just have
that
that
takes a,
understanding,
that
yeah.
does so much heavy lifting. And to be honest, if you took that mindset from CDH alone, the only thing that you take away from CDH is that mindset and bring that to your Rule Zero conversation, that will probably improve your games. It improved my casual games for sure.
Oh yeah,
But like
it's definitely changed my own mind. And I mean, I just only played two games with Dan over at Mod Anonymous MTG. That was a great opportunity for me to just kind of get my feet wet in the format, just, you know, see what things are like on the CDH side of things. And it really got me thinking after I finished playing that night that, you know, there was definitely something nice about not having to worry as so much about trying to, you know, dance around the rule zero question. It was just nice to be able to just sit down, say, this is what my deck is, this is what my deck tries to do, and just play. And that was quite liberating in some ways.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about the feels. You don't need to worry about oh, they don't like that. It's like I don't like it's like it turns like most of the time where we just laugh when we're completely kicking our friends' asses. Get stuff. You thought you were gonna win? No. Ha.
Oh
It's
yeah.
really free. It's a, you learn to laugh together because you're having fun because you're all trying to win. The stakes are high and the adrenaline's good and it's fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think the only anger I had was myself for keeping really spotty opening hands. But again,
Yeah,
that's just,
mulligan
yeah.
aggressively. That's going to be my one note to you. What it is? No, I'm not kidding you. Do you, like it is in, like, say you mull to what, six?
Sure.
You've looked at seven, seven. No, say you, okay. So like a mull to six. You've looked at 21 cards before you've gone to six. That's huge. And not only do you go to six, you get to sculpt it. And then you have another card in the command zone, maybe two. You're not really going down, and you draw one up at the beginning of your turn, so you're back up to seven anyways. I'd rather keep a perfect five.
Yeah,
Draw
that
up. Yeah, a perfect five with action, that can win, that has a plan. Yeah, I'll take a perfect five over a mediocre seven any day.
Sure. And again, that's just something that personally I need to keep learning as I keep working with my deck and just see what it does, see where it goes. But yeah, that I feel like that's another really good misconception for casual players trying to get into CDH from firsthand experience here, obviously, that mulliganing in CDH is potentially more powerful than it is in the more casual side of things. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, it is if you just mull to five, that's 7, 14, 20, 21 cards? 28 cards that you get to look at and sculpt? That's
Yeah.
insane. The amount of times that I'll just win on turn two with like a with a with a with a sixer. Or worse comes to worse, a lot of the commanders that we thoroughly enjoy in CDH fulfill specific roles. Cards like Tevesh, turns hands that are just like a hand of fast mana, transforms a hand of fast mana into card advantage, which is something that we really like.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get Tevish up here just so everyone who's not familiar with what Tevish Zadzum, Doom of Fools is a planeswalker, four loyalty, cost four and a black, has a plus two ability, create 2/0/1 black Thrall creature tokens, plus one where you can sack another creature planeswalker to draw two cards, and negative 10 to be able to gain control of all commanders. So yeah, very, very popular CDH partner commander.
Like, to be honest, I would take a two card Ancient Tomb and Jeweled Lotus and snap keep on that. I'd mull down to that. I'd be fine.
Yeah,
Like,
because
if I had two land, if I had two card hand with Tevesh in the command zone of just literally Ancient Tomb and Jeweled Lotus,
Oh
like
yeah. Oh,
I draw
dang.
one card, I've got three cards in hand. I've now got Tevesh on turn one. Turn two, I draw another three cards. I now have four cards in hand, and I'm ready to go with my active planeswalker on the field. That's
Yeah.
why like something like Tevesh just turns a handful of shitty hand of mana into like four cards.
Yeah,
When
definitely.
we have like AB combos and we play some of the most powerful cards in the format, like three cards is worth a lot. That's why like you can lose a game to Rhystic Study, you can lose a game to Mystic Remora. Like those are like sometimes win conditions, especially in control decks, because they'll just bury you in like better cards.
Sure. And you also get the extra upside of being able to get some creature tokens out there. You can sacrifice those creature tokens, gain some extra cards. Yeah, it's just there's a lot of value just on this one. You're right. Just being able to mull down to exactly the cards you need is really strong, and definitely something that we don't necessarily do a lot on the more casual side of things, where I consider like I make my hay is usually there. We're just trying to make sure we can play the game, period. Whereas in CDH, obviously, you're just trying to make sure you hit your game plan as quickly
As
as possible.
early as possible. Or like most decks are trying to hit like a Staxx deck is looking for an early Collector Oof or one of the early Rule of Law creatures. A turbo deck like is looking for early Gnaws or way into Gnaws, or like mid-range decks are looking for interaction. Like everybody's looking for their thing, but we're all looking for it. If you know what I mean, we're all looking for something, but we're spending three mulligans to look for it. Like, there is no problem of going down to six or of going down to a six, having looked at 21 cards. That is a massive advantage. Plus, we often play partners that have card advantage, so you add that on top of it. Like Timna exists.
Yeah, definitely.
Like so, like when you like when you mull down to like hot hands. That's why it's like why do our hands always look like we like they're crazy? It's like because we're going to go down to five. Because this five has a game plan and I'm going to draw a card, go up to six. I've got two commanders, seven, eight cards. So I really have eight cards, so I'm not that much of a disadvantage. Which is why Legacy absolutely fucking hated the companion rule.
Oh yeah, definitely that. Yeah, the 60 card formats didn't really like the companions much,
Yeah,
did
because
they?
they basically got a commander. They're
Yeah.
like, well, we can mull down to this and do whatever. I've got Lurrus in the command zone. And like a lot of people really didn't like that, but that's what the commander format is based on.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I guess the next question would be, since there is that change, I did just do an episode with Gemstone Mine and great guys. And again, CDH is a lot about intent. Again, this kind of goes back to the bit about Rule Zero, but a lot of it comes down to like the cards you're going to include in the deck. One of the poster childs for this is, of course, Mana Crypt. Your usual zero cost artifact gives you two colorless mana right off the bat and can basically lightning bolt you if you fail on your coin flip every turn, every upkeep. And I guess the next question here, as far as misconceptions of CDH, is kind of going in reverse here a little bit, is that the fact that Mana Crypt isn't really considered to be a casual card, I guess, versus CDH, just, it's a card. It's a good card. You may not even, we were even talking about this, and you may not even need it, depending on what you're trying to do. It just
Yeah, well,
seems
the
to
one that
me, yeah.
everybody fucking finds so crazy is Cyclonic Rift. Like,
Sure.
because like that's a staple casual card that is an absolute bane to the format, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's CDH decks that just straight up don't run it for the reason that it can't bounce your own things. We'd rather run into the Royal. because Cycloptic Rift is a fantastic stacks breaker and makes its way into lists for that, because you can blow an entire table of stacks for one card. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of cases, a lot of decks, especially dockside-focused decks, have moved off of Cyclonic Rifts and onto the many different variations of Into the Royal that they've printed, because we're mostly only casting Cyclonic Rift or whatnot for the two-mana mode to pop a Rule of Law or pop a Hate Bear or pop some kind of stacks piece before we go off. And we're playing a very efficient mana, right? So yeah. But then I can't... The problem is Cyclonic Rift only targets my opponent's stuff, right? So I can't use that to double a Dockside, because I can't bounce my Dockside to hand to get it back down to, like, rock to cast a Peer into the Abyss or an Ad Nauseam or something like that.
Sure.
Or post Ad Nauseam when I'm trying to win and I need to generate a whole bunch of mana on my Storm turn to, like, generate, a Breach turn. And that's another one of the fun things about CDH, is there is a lot of things that you're allowed to play that, like, are socially just not accepted casual things. Like my ideal Storm turn would make somebody like flip a table.
Walk us through one of your typical Storm turns.
Cast Dargo Dab, things go crazy. So people I exist on TikTok, so I get to hear a lot of really unwashed opinions. But everyone's like, oh, CDH is just cast Ad Nauseam. And I'm like, I have never met a more fun card in my life to cast than Ad Nauseam. The actual act of maybe watching it isn't fun, but I enjoy it, so I help other people through it, and I really enjoy it, so whatever. But the act of casting Ad Nauseam is actually fun. You've got your life total on the line, and you're sitting there blind flipping the top of your deck, trying to either assemble you're not looking for any 1-2 cards, but you're looking for a certain amount of cards that you're able to staple together a win condition. Now you're paying your life down to it, and sometimes you just don't make it. Sometimes you flip a Peer into the Abyss and you just die. That is actually physically adrenaline inducing. It gives me goosebumps. It's a fun thing to do. And then playing Storm when you get to cast a bazillion, I'm gonna bounce Dockside back to hand, recast Dockside, I'm now gonna make seven treasures, I'm now gonna cast Underworld Breach, blah blah blah, I'm gonna escape out Lion's Eye Diamond, I'm gonna discard Lion's Eye or play Lion's Eye Diamond. Discard my entire hand, make three, go an absolute ham, and your friends are like, Jesus fucking Christ, you, give me 1 second, I'm gonna kill you, I swear to God! And they're just just do it! you end up having fun, I will kill you, I like a lot of the Storm games where it's step one, Ad Nauseam, step five, win the game.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't get to play those games, you don't get to play that, or, my friends that are my Staxy friends, don't get to, play Rule of Law or Fair Magic. Nobody likes a game of Fair Magic more than more of Stax players, and that's it. You will play Fair Magic. My friend is on the DD the database list for an equipment based Stax list. It's I get to play Rule of Law and a Colossus Hammer, and I'm gonna beat the shit out of you.
Oh, that sounds great.
CDH is very, it is one of that, sometimes very closed and very open at the same time. There's very specific things you need to be able to do to be able to be CDH. But if you can do those things, you're pretty fucking good. And, if you want to play, with enough Rule of Law, Kamal is in the format right now. Timna Kamal is a list, because Timna draws a bunch of cards and Kamal turns your Hate Bears into, five fives.
Mm-hmm. With trample too.
So you just that'll do. When you've got two Rule of Law creatures and they're all five fives and they're drawing cards off of Timna, you're just gonna beat the shit out of people. But all these decks are based on fundamental CDH knowledge and learn how to attack the meta because they know the meta. You can't attack a meta you don't know. It's impossible. You don't have the fundamental knowledge to attack a meta. How are you gonna know its weak spots? So once you know the meta, then you know how to, disassemble it. And that's where some fun fringe stuff starts coming up. And then there's, a lot of, commanders that are, just strictly too powerful to play in casual. That, Korvold, you can play Korvold in CDH and, have a blast. Because you just get to do Korvold things.
Mm-hmm.
You just get to have fun. You just get to play the decks that you want to basically play, under the pretense that they can bang. If they can't bang, then they can't.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Nathan, you've been around, you've heard a lot of the misconceptions about CEDH. What would be the next one that you think needs to be tackled?
Well, I don't like one of them is that we're really into pub stomping, and that's the one that always comes around. And it's like most of us
Yeah.
really have no, like,
Do you want to define that really quickly first?
yeah. So pub stomp, like, define pub stomping.
Or kind of how you look at what people consider to be pub stomping.
Bringing overpowered decks or like play like spiky 2-win decks to tables that are playing a more slow format. But like, honestly, with how casually like the diversity of the casual format, I laughed my ass off one day when I brought the only deck that I had was Tassigar CDH, and my friends were playing casual lists, and I got my ass stomped. Because like that's a tempo like control deck that's just like not, that deck is meant to like attack a CDH meta. So you take it outside of the CDH meta, and like it's just it doesn't really function. Or like that Timna Kamal list might fold to just repeated board wipes, which are like omnipresent in casual, but they don't necessarily run them that much. Like nobody, like they don't really have a problem playing a big stompy fair game. Like this Stax deck is like, I want to play a big stompy game, and the casual deck is like, oh. Me too. But my stompies are bigger than yours. So like that's what again like I go on this rant because like see everybody thinks that CDH is like all early turn games, but you CDH decks need to be able to essentially either set up to win or stop somebody from winning or some have some kind of like really good game plan by turn three. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. And you're right, because when you do try to scale that down a little bit, CDH is great. Decks are great at a lot of things, but they may not be better at the more casual things than more casual decks, I suppose, at doing the same thing.
But like,
You've
what?
taken off
But
their
then
game plan.
on the other end, like, what is a ca most casual deck's gonna do to stop a turn one ad nauseum,
Sure,
right?
sure.
But like, I don't know. It's one of the weird things about trying to define casual.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the pub stomping bit. Again, why for the people out there listening, why is the pub stomping quote unquote image of CEDH such a problem for that part of the format?
Because why is it like, well, why is it such a problem? Like, well, because it creates a lot of actual in-world hostility. A lot of just in-world, real-life, actual people are very passionate about their commander games, and there have been some times that I have been made to feel physically very unwelcome in LGSs. Like, this is one of the major reasons, 'cause, like, I ain't, like, why do I don't not like it? Because I get sick and tired of catching flack for other people's nonsense. They're like, oh, you're a CDH pub stomper. It's like, my guy, I have no interest in playing against your casual deck with my Turbo Nos deck. That is not the environment that I'm after. Like, the difference between pub stompers and CDH play, like, a pub stomper will enjoy beating the hell out of you. I will mostly be like, why am I here?
Yeah, and that's definitely the difference is that Pub Stomper is trying to you basically you're not
Lever like
caring.
leverage yeah you're trying to
Yeah.
leverage like it's like I don't get it. It's like trying to leverage some kind of superiority. Like I like they run the same powerful cards that we do, but I just it's like the intent is just so much more different. Like I often get accused of like some weird stuff, like because I don't want, like, I have no interest in playing against like very underpowered decks. I just don't. And then like that's more akin, like that is more akin to like having a CD like CDH than like Pub Stomper, where the C Pub Stomper will it's an intent difference. The Pub Stomper will play to like it has the intent to crush lower tables. Like the I just don't see the reason. I don't find the joy in that. I it doesn't it, it there like sometimes like you try you There's even some games of like where I play CDH that are unfulfilling, where I just have a hot hand where like I combo out like immediately on turn one, and it's just like everybody's like, ah, crap, and like I caught y'all with the pants down. I'm like, oh, that was necessarily unfulfilling. Like that happens to me sometimes. Like other sometimes it's like, ah, got you. Like it just depends on the day, but
Sure.
like, but that's like that's the nuances of playing CDH. But like, the difference, like. The reason why, like again, the reason why I hate the pub stomping the comparison is because people, the pub stompers are ruining the casual experience. That's it really eats into what the casual experience is trying to do. Ergo, the casual experience pushes back, and it's like no, it's the CDH people. When most of us are like, no, I really have no interest in playing against those kind of decks, which is like it's unfortunately a real world. It's a real world like throwback from all like the content creation and like the vitriol that gets spewed on major places in on TikTok, like on Twitter, or like when you otherize like the otherization of CDH is like causes like the in-world issues of people actually being attacked because of this.
Yeah, so you're saying that not everyone can get along? What a shocker.
No, it's amazing. Like that's it's gonna be the best thing about EDH, I mean all of EDH, is the fact that it's an interpersonal format. The worst thing about EDH is the fact that it's an interpersonal format. Like that you're going to be running into people. Like the best EDH game you're going to have is going to be the tone is going to be set by the worst person at the table. That's how every EDH game is going to go. It's good, like, and if you can't control that. Like, it doesn't matter what format you're playing. Like, I've ran into some really salty CDH players, and I was just like, you know, maybe I'm just not. I play this end of the format to be salt free. Like, I don't like salt. Like, I'm on the spectrum. Like, it makes me feel bad, and it, like, I'm like, but I'm trying to play the game. Like, we have an intent. Like, when you're trying to play a game to do the thing, like I don't want to. Like, when you're playing a board game and you're supposed to be playing a board game for fun, right? You play board games with your friends, but like, and I'm like. Like I don't want other people at the table getting upset at me because I bought Boardwalk, right? And then like again, like EDH is supposed to be like a format like an interpersonal format, but again, you're still playing the game. You're still taking game actions. Like if you didn't want to do that, then you just sit around and play. Like just sit around on your couch and just chat.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, we're all trying to still win the game. It doesn't matter exactly.
Even if you're not taking winning seriously, like you're still taking game actions. Like I'm going to attack you. Like, oh, why are you attacking me? Because you have the highest life total. Like, or you're like, because there's too much like, and like it's an all the time thing, like across like EDH. So that like again, that's why I play the CDH meta is because at least when we sit down to like understand that like we're trying to do the thing, like there's not that much salt.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And it was definitely, like I said a few minutes ago, that was definitely something that attracted me to CDH a little bit, was it was an opportunity to just, play really powerful cards and just not worry so much about trying to find that exact experience, because you sitting down at that table, period, is the experience. It's just gonna kind of depend on what happens at the game to sculpt like the last 20 to
Which it really
30%.
allows me to have fun playing. Because like I don't need to worry about that anymore. So now I can just shoot the shit and do whatever because I know like I don't need to worry about that. I don't need to worry about any of that nonsense. I know what I'm doing, and I can just shoot the shit with my friends and we just enjoy ourselves. And also one of the great facts is when I first got into EDH, like it would be like one game would be 2 hours, and like an EDH night would be like a game, maybe two. And it would go on for like 6 hours, right? We picked up CDH and we started having like hour long games. Oh man, we'd rip through like six games in a session. We like that was that's when I got my play group hooked. When we had like a 5.5 game session, or five no, we had like a 6 game session. Like we just crushed games. Like my friend, like we all. Like when he finally got to start playing with power and like really efficient like decks, and he's like, "Oh wow!" It's like, "Oh, I can do this." I'm like, "Yeah." You start seeing like get like involved, and like it's a lot more fun when you just get to cut loose.
Definitely, definitely. I've more recently I've even started to punt on certain games where it's just, I have an answer in hand, but it's only going to make the game go another 35 minutes. And people ask me, well, why are you not playing that thing? It just, well, I could, and then the game will go another 35 minutes. Or if I punt on this, we can get another game in. And I'm really starting to get towards that point where, if we can just get another game in, no one gets stuck outside the game while watching other people play, right? So it's just even little things like that where I've definitely started to experience a change personally over the last, 6 months versus where I was a year ago.
Yeah, so, CDH doesn't want to ruin your casual experience. We're too busy having our own. That's the major difference. If you want to talk about the major difference between pub stomping and CDH players, most CDH players are too busy having our own experience in our own. And it's not even it's a meta. It's the same format. We're just having fun in our end of the pool. That's it.
Yeah. That's a really apt way to describe it. Definitely. Next question I wanted to ask you was another one of the very important questions that can be a barrier, an obstacle for entry for a lot of new players like myself, and that is the proxying debate. And again,
I'm very pro-proxy, and a lot of people are, everyone that I know is very pro-proxy. And it's for casual, whatever, that's their own problem. But my cheapest CDH deck is $6,000.
Yeah.
Expecting anybody to spend thousands of dollars just so they can play a game with you. I have problems with the fact that casual players expect people to have two or three different decks, okay? You can imagine what my opinion on it is, on trying to make people, buy a CDH deck. Please proxy. My Lion's Eye Diamond is $500.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's very selfish of me that I'm pro-proxy in a way, because, I can't play CDH. CDH won't grow. I don't get to play more CDH with different people because of the massive, massive price barrier to entry. My cards are useless and I don't get to play the kind of game that I enjoy if, proxying doesn't exist. Because then I only get to play with, a few people who can afford it.
Mm-hmm. And then we're vintages.
Yeah, and the meta doesn't grow. The CDH doesn't grow. CDH doesn't get better. CDH doesn't get any more popular. I don't have more CDH to talk about or more CDH players to play with if nobody can afford it. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I mean,
your casual group might do whatever they're going to do, but if you're going to play CDH, please do not feel afraid to proxy. We are at most, I dance around the subject because I don't want to say we're 100% just in case someone listening to this runs into an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you're going to people are understanding that especially if you're on my planet spell tables on Discords or whatnot, I don't make the rules at your LGS. I don't make the rules for the world. So please don't come for me. But most people are going to be pro proxy.
Yeah, because when we even look at my own deck that I built personally, that's $6,300 on a deck that I'm still tinkering with, and I will be tinkering with for a long, long time. And I don't want to drop, a whole car payment and times 10 on a deck that I'm only going to be utilizing every so often versus the $10 I spent at the FedEx Business Center to be able to print off full color proxies. I mean, that's $10 and 15 minutes of my time and bam, I have a CDH deck.
You will sooner run into a snob who will judge you on your proxies rather than someone who will judge you that you are playing proxies. And that one I'll confirm. You will 100% oh, those aren't colored proxies, or those proxies aren't really good, or I can't really read those proxies. They won't give a crap that you're playing a proxy. They'll care about the quality of the proxy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think the quality is
They won't care that it's
decent.
Proxied. It's just just don't ruin the experience for me and let me be able to read it. That's all most people care about.
Yeah. And again, I will highly vouch for if people who are out there listening are interested in proxying cards, it's not a bad thing to go to one of those commercial printing enterprises. They have very reasonable rates. I think I paid like 60 cents per page for the, I don't remember, 15
pages. High quality.
Yeah. So for like 10 bucks, I was able to build the whole deck, and everything is readable except for the one card that I unfortunately chose the wrong version, but that's on me. Otherwise, everything is very, very readable. You almost can't tell it's not the actual card.
Yeah, like, I can barely see anything that's on people's screens, so I just try and keep as much in my head as possible, which is hilarious when you smoke as much marijuana as I do. It gets confusing.
Oh, I bet it does.
Yeah, but that's why I like to play very progressive decks, because no thoughts, just ad nauseam. I have 30 cards in hand. It's very zen, just like, shut out the world and storm, and like, it's a wonderful feeling.
Definitely, definitely. And it's fun to be able to proxy these decks, because again, if you don't like your deck, or you know, you don't like something, or you have to add something, all of a sudden you don't need to all of a sudden jump over and spend $200 to go find, I don't know, a couple of mana, another mana crypt, and you know, $30 worth of other staples. You can basically just go down, print one page, and bam, you've got those cards you want to swap in.
Yeah, and like, you get to try out like a, so, like, there's a decklist database, which is a really good place to start. Like, a fantastic place to start for if you wanted to get into CDH. The CDH decklist database is a fantastic resource, and it is created and curated to be a resource, especially for new players. Hold on one second. And a lot of deck builders, like myself, will write entire primers, which is like an essay about our decks, talking about card inclusions, how to play the deck, why you play these specific cards, why to play these commanders, and all these kinds of things. And I encourage everybody to just grab a list, play it for a while, learn why it does what it does, and then after that, go on and explore whatever the heck you want to do.
Yep, I also recommend it. It was an opportunity for me to kind of just see personally, coming from outside the meta, just to see what's out there and just kind of get the idea that there is a whole lot more variety to CDH than I personally ever thought there was. So that really opened my eyes. And you can find the decklist database at CEDH-decklist-database.com.
Yeah, like the deck that I have on there is Jessica Ishai, which I jokingly call Voltron, because its entire game plan is just to punch people in the throat with a giant bird.
Yeah, and typically when a lot of people think about CDH, they think the combat damage basically doesn't matter, and your whole deck right there is predicated on that mattering a lot.
Yeah. Jessica's a hell of a thing. But yeah, when you're able to, like, Ishai gets really big without you having to do anything, which is very important in a tempo game. Like, I don't have to spend any resources to grow Ishai, which is a large mana advantage. Like, if you think about how much mana you need to invest to grow a creature to a 24-24, but you don't have to do anything of that. Your opponents do that for you. So that's why it's a very effective tempo deck, because your opponents playing spells grow your Ishai, which, as I mentioned, like, you don't need to play anything in that deck. You don't need to waste card slots on buffing Ishai. You don't need to waste cards on any of that. You just need to support Ishai, and like, not a lot of people have flying blockers, and if they do, you are playing a deck full of removal, and your Jessica's removal, and you're just playing like a very aggressive game of tempo.
Yeah, definitely. Ishai is kind of like the Mana Gorge or Hydra of casual, or of the competitive.
It's a Mana Gorge in the command zone.
Yeah, and that's really something is interesting about that. Yeah, I do have a copy of Ishai sitting around here. Maybe someday I should join the Bird Clan someday. I don't know.
Choose violence.
Choosing violence. All right. Yeah, so we've talked about a lot of different misnomers here. Is there another common misconception you think needs to be tackled?
No, I think we got through most of the important ones.
All right. So, I think, is there just anything you want to talk about for like 5, 10 minutes?
No, I'm good. We're looking forward to new spoilers for my casual deck because Kamigawa means possibility of new Sakashima. And I am
Definitely.
very, very excited for that because my casual deck is a Sakashima Kadama Karuga deck, which is
Yeah.
my baby. If you ever want to see it, like a casual deck that's being built by a CDH player that is following casual rules, you should see how that one plays out. Nothing under 3 CMC, no mana crypts, no soul rings, no cards, no arcane signets, no nothing.
Definitely. If you'll send me over the deck list to that one, I can drop it in the show notes if people would like to take a look at that. All right. Well, I think that we had a really good episode here, Nathan. I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today about the misconceptions of CDH and hopefully helping everyone out there. If you're on the fence about getting to CDH, I recommend it. Give it a try. See what happens. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine. But you don't know until you try, right?
Yeah, it's like it might not be lame. Like I know Battlecruiser's not for me. Like not, that's one of the beautiful things about EDH and like why it should be embraced at all parts of the format is because there's many ways to play it. Like I'm not interested in Battlecruiser. Some people are not interested in like CDH. It's like no, I don't. You don't need to be. It's fine. We can all just coexist in different pods. We all can just enjoy this wonderful game in the many ways like I like pineapple on my pizza. I'm not going to put it on yours. That's fine.
I don't know, man. I love pineapple on my pizza,
Yeah, well, if you
so.
want to come over here and have pineapple pizza with me, then we're going to have pineapple pizza at this table, but I'm not going to bring it over to your table. Like don't it's fine.
Yeah. And you're definitely right. Is that's what's so great about EDH's format is that it is so open because basically there is a level for everyone. You really can't say that about basically any other format of a major format of Magic the Gathering, because most of them require the meta to be competitive and everything else is basically just kitchen table. EDH can be kitchen table, can be, varied, and can be competitive all at the same time.
Yeah, it's like the whole reason why like one number one arguments that I always hear is like, why don't you just go play Legacy or Vintage? I'm like, because I'm not hanging out with my fucking friends. Big difference. I'm not hanging out with my buddies playing a like we're playing like just because I'm playing CDH does not mean I'm not explicitly playing for fun. I am playing it because it's fun. I have a $15,000 deck because I find this game thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's like I play this for like the reason why us CDH players play is for fun. No, there is no tournament. Well, there are tournaments, but there's no tournament scene or anything like this.
It's not why we're playing the format. It's because we want
Yeah.
to do weird things. You want to play a lot of very powerful decks that do the very fast things. Personally, I like taking kind of the weird approach and trying to basically make everyone's head turn or head spin because I'm just doing something completely weird on the table. And those are completely valid points for both of us, and there's room for both of us and for everyone in this format.
And you should see where people made people's head spins with Dargo.
I bet.
I was
That's
like, he's an uncommon, and then all of a sudden you're like you burnt offering him for like a whole. You cast him on
seven
turn one,
mana,
burnt
yeah.
offering for
Eight
seven
mana.
mana, and
Is it
like
seven or eight mana?
appeared. He's 7 mana. So the funny thing is he no. So he's 7 CMC, but he really costs one
One
red.
mana, yeah.
Yeah, he really costs one red. That's the sneaky thing. He really costs one red, but he is 7 CMC. So there's like really creative ways that you get to abuse that in CDH. Like, if you have like a birthing pod, right? And a Dargo, and you know what's at 8 CMC? Razaketh.
Azaketh. Yeah, I was about to say it. That's like, Razaketh.
And now you get Razaketh, which is a sacrifice tutor outlet, and Dargo, which is a creature that you can sacrifice and recast for one red, and like add a potato, and you've got a stew.
Is it add ev so let's see. So Dargo's cost reduction, that's until end of turn, right?
That's the whole
Okay.
turn. The
That's
whole turn.
What I wasn't sure about because I kept looking at Dargo. It's like I see something powerful here, but I thought you had to do it every time. And okay, that makes a lot more sense now.
No. It's like you cast him and then he costs red.
Oh man,
That turn.
that is brutal.
Yeah. So like you crack Jeweled Lotus, that's 5 mana to cast Dargo.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Because you the mere act of cracking the
That's a
Jeweled
sacrifice
Lotus,
artifact, yeah.
yeah, supplies to or like so like there's lots of things to be explored in ways and like but like and but we the ways that we abuse it. And like there's ways to abuse a big body like that. Or like Altar of Dementia or like God, just think about Dockside and Dargo together.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
So
perfect.
like yeah, Lotus Petal is basically Black Lotus. 'Cause you crack the black you crack your Lotus Petal, that's 2 mana and 1 red. So you can just cast that's 3 mana towards Dargo off of a 0 mana artifact.
Oh man, now you really have me want to potentially build Dargo at some level.
Dargo Storm is so much fun, and like it's it, like there's some commanders that you get to play with like Dargo that you just can't play at casual tables because they're just fucking broken.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably find a way to bring him down a little bit, but yeah, Dargo, now that you bring that up, that seems a lot more broken than I originally thought. So, I learned
Yeah,
something
that's one of
today.
the things about CDH is pushing things as far as they can go.
Wow, that's really interesting. I'm glad I learned that. That seems really
Yeah.
cool. All right, Nathan, it's been great having you on there. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No worries.
All right, and again, if people are interested in finding your deck list or just seeing more of your content both on Twitter and TikTok, where can they find that?
Just search for the Hermit Druid.
All right, and it'll show up. You got a lot of
Yep.
interesting TikToks out there where you talk about not just Magic the Gathering, but a lot of your cooking stuff as
Dungeons and
well.
Dragons, kitchen stuff, because I'm a 22-year career cook.
Yeah, a lot of the
That's
stuff you
what
make is looks really good.
Yeah, like it's like the magic is my magic is a hobby. I have like a job.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way as like, you know, we all have our jobs, and magic is just that hobby that we do in our spare time, and we have a lot of fun doing that. It's great.
Yeah.
All right, and you can find me on the usual podcast outlets. That's Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Casts, and MTG Casts, and a whole lot of others. If it's a major podcast outlet, odds are I'm probably on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. And I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So another huge shout out to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, and Frugal Brew for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.